the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Like a new episode of Keith Lemon the Sketch Show, this is my favourite time of the week when I get to chat to Reality Rob Dixon about specials, betting and TV. Hey Rob, how you doing?
He lived in the same town as me, did Keith Lemon.
Yeah, I know. He's from he's a Yorkshire lad, isn't he? A Leeds lad.
He's a Leeds lad.
Not Keith Lemon.
Lee Phelps?
No, not he's another hilarious Lee. I can't remember his name now. Anyway, that is a very good show. That, do you watch Keith Lemon the Sketch Show, Rob?
I've watched bits of it only because you've told me to watch it.
Right, it's very rude, but it's very funny. We're going to talk about The Voice, which is also very rude and very—it's not very rude or very funny actually. It's just good wholesome entertainment on a Saturday night. We've also got some Strictly Come Dancing specials to discuss. We've got Current Affairs, BBC Sports Personality, Sexy Women, Next Bond, Weather Specials, Folio Prize, Eurovision Song Contest and Royal Specials. We might not talk about all of those, but you never know. We don't know where this podcast goes. This weekend, it's week two of the battles. Did anything surprise you about week one, Rob?
I was amazed that a lot of them got picked up.
Yeah, there seemed to be a lot of saves, didn't there? It's almost like they did too many saves.
I think there was too many. So there were people there that weren't deserving of a save, to be quite honest.
Okay, anyone you want to name? Or you're
yeah,
keep
I'll,
that okay.
I'll go through the list. I think I don't think Newshin Matthews was worthy of a save.
No, it seemed like it was...
won anyway. Joyful Sounds,
I've got to agree with you there. I thought it was almost like... I don't know what the time scale was when they recorded it, but it had the feel of someone going, oh, can't let them go, without seeing everyone else. Seems strange, mate.
I'm not a great fan. I didn't think Ryan Green really deserved a save, personally. I don't think Shelley Ann deserved a one. But I can understand why they kept Claudia Rose, Olivia Lawson and Carl Locke. Definitely Carl Locke slipped me in. I thought it was really, really good as well. It was really tight for me to call that.
Ryan Green is, I mean, you know, it's very popular at the minute to call, since Katie Hopkins did it, to call people Magnolia, isn't it, rather than Vanilla. But God, he was like that, wasn't he? He was just like, come on, you'll forget about him in about a week, surely. I was surprised as well about that.
To be quite honest, I think a lot of these people you're going to forget in a week. In fact, most of these I've actually forgotten already. So,
You did very well to remember those. I didn't think you'd be able to remember the ones who you disliked. Shelly-Ann Evans, is she the Welsh one?
Yes, she was.
Yeah, she looks a bit like a famous actress who's in soaps, but I can't remember which one. I can never remember which one, to be honest. Anyway, we've got the next set of battle rounds coming up. Stevie McCrory is still your favourite, by the way, at 15-8. And I thought it was quite stark to me. One of the things that stood out for me, and I know this isn't, you know, up there with the X Factor in terms of its kind of the way it manipulates an audience, but no one got a little interview after they had made it through apart from Stevie McCrory.
It's
weird how they suddenly go, yeah, Stevie, have a little chat with the presenter.
I thought they made it quite nice that he wasn't going to be the chosen one by putting him on next to Laos this week instead of Laos from his audition. But I've seen nothing to suggest, but twice I've seen him, I've seen nothing to suggest that he doesn't win this.
Yeah, it's boring, but I have to agree with you. Sheena McHugh will be featured this weekend. She's 9-2. Clark Kamodi, I thought he was very good, actually. 8-1. Do like him, but doesn't strike me as a winner. Howard Rose, 9-1. Lucy O'Byrne, 9-1. Emmanuel Nomadi is 12-1. Esme Dent is 16. 16's for Rosalind Mel. And Sasha Simone. Then we get to 20-1 for Claudia Rose. Liz Jones. Then 25's. For a whole host of other acts, which I won't go through. Let's go through the battles this round, shall we? Starting off with Team Will, we may as well, I suppose. Stephen Cornwell versus Jake Shakeshaft. The only thing that's really memorable about either of these is Jake's name, to be fair. Rita Ora really liked Stephen Cornwell. You probably won't remember too much of him. Just a good-looking, youngish lad. They're going to be singing Every Teardrop is a Waterfall by Coldplay. Speaking of Magnolia, neither of these two really got me going. Rob. I think Jake Shakeshaft might win it because he's got a good name.
Yeah, I think he's probably done enough, hasn't he, to get through. I think he got more, a couple of people turned for him, didn't they, while Stephen only got Rita.
Not too much excitement there, is there?
No, I think Jake will get through.
Yeah, but me too. Next up in our list, this isn't necessarily how they'll be on the show, Sheena McHugh and Holly Barry. Sheena McHugh, of course, a second favourite. Holly Barry, 66-1. Sisters are doing it for themselves. Not a description of what they're doing, but that's the song they'll be singing. Aretha Franklin and the Eurythmics. Sheena, of course, famous for meeting me on the escalator at King's Cross. And she was also a survivor of a horrific car crash. She's also been around the block a bit in terms of the singing. She's tried out at a few different shows, including The X Factor. Holly Barry, she's a professional dog walker.
Yeah, if Sheena
doesn't make it through this, then that's a big surprise for me.
No, I think Sheena's pretty much sort of cemented herself as second fathom this, and it'd be interesting to know the prices. She will go through, even if she doesn't, she'll get picked up. And I think there's four steals left, is there, I think, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
I think it's two or four. But
as long as it's an even number, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I think. I can't see Sheena falling at this stage anyway, and I expect her to be a little bit shorter than the 9-2 come the knockout rounds next week.
Dave Cullen has joined us in the studio briefly. I'm not sure why, but... I just
fancied a chat.
All right, okay.
I didn't realise you were speaking. I didn't realise you were doing this important specials podcast.
Of course, yeah.
At this stage with Mr. Dixon. Who's your pick here, Rob?
To win it outright?
Yeah, to win it.
Oh, I'm a favourite backer, me. Stephen McCrory.
I bet you've got some big prices, haven't you, Rob?
We're all right. Don't you worry about it.
DK, we were talking about
Sharon
the voice, Murphy,
weren't we? We were talking about the voice.
Sharon Murphy, you're an Irish woman.
I think 40-1. She was 50s when we were texting, but I think 40-1's fair. And as I mentioned when I was talking to you on text, I like those two young women on the voice. And you were going to turn it into something
cheap,
disgusting and cheap.
It's cheap.
Rob Dixon.
Very cheap.
I expected nothing less from you. Yeah, I thought that was the best of the battles we saw last weekend. That was the best battle, wasn't it? I don't know if either of them will win because you look back.
Those two.
Those two.
I think it was.
We haven't got a webcam in here, but those two.
I think it was.
It was Rosa Lamel.
Rosa Lamel and Claudia Rose.
Claudia Rose, yeah.
Those two. That was the best battle. Those two are the best two singers in the competition, in my opinion. Mm. However, you look back through the history of The Voice, there's only middle-aged people watching this competition on a Saturday night, and they tend to go for the older person, don't they?
Mm.
So,
yeah. Interesting insight.
Thank you.
Are you out this Saturday night?
I'm not sure. I might stay in and watch this again.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's been an interesting look into the life of Dave Cowner there. thanks very much.
Shall I go now?
Yeah, you can go now if you want. You can sit if you want. I don't mind. But we're going through the battle rounds.
No, I'll leave you now because
this next one, if it was priced up, Esme Denters would be 1-100 in a match bet with Andrew Mark. Andrew Mark, if you don't remember, was the guy who is a Tina Turner tribute act who will turn for the very last act on. And he didn't have a choice.
Okay.
And the look on Will's face, it was like he couldn't hide his disappointment. Yeah. He turned around for a middle-aged man who, he might probably win now, won't he, given your DK's critique. But Esme Denters was fantastic. She's actually recorded with Justin Timberlake. They're going to be singing Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic by The Police. If she don't get through this, Rob, there's something wrong, isn't there?
Well, she gets through one way or the other here, doesn't she?
Yes, yeah. I don't think he'll be picked up, will he? Unless it is by the police.
No, 1-100 has to be. It can only be 1-100 to win this. But you never know.
I might take the 1-100 actually if you're offering that. I could do with a quid. Let's move on to Team Rita, shall we? Vanessa Hunt versus Liz Jones, singing Straight Up by Paula Abdul. Vanessa, she was the one who sells toilet paper. She did Sunshine of Your Love. Liz, Rita turned for... Liz was... She sang...
We don't get this when we talk about
X-Factor,
do we? That's the girl who sells toilet paper.
Have you noticed, though, in this series, Rob, that a lot of the jobs are quite quirky? I don't know if they've gone out of the way to pick quirky people. Like, there's been quite a lot of... I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but, you know, whenever I hire an electrician or a plumber, I never get some, like, woman come round, some young girl come round who's, like, you know, who's really glamorous and has got a sideline in fantastic singing. You know, it's always some burly bloke who's got, you know, hairy backside. I can only tell that by his trousers falling down too low because he hasn't got a belt on before you jump in there.
Anyway,
Vanessa Hunt versus Liz Jones. Interesting, this one, isn't it? She did Dark Horse, Liz Jones, by the way. And Rita was up dancing to that one, I remember.
Yeah, I really liked Liz Jones. Another Welsh lass. They're getting them in from the valleys this year, aren't they? I really like Liz Jones in the auditions, and I think she'll quite easily get through this.
Yeah, 20-1 she is to win the whole thing, by the way. Her opponent, Vanessa, is priced up at 50-1. It'll be interesting to see how that battle goes, because I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there's a little steal there. The Mac Bros brothers and D Twins. Wow, I really cannot wait. No, I can't wait for this this battle. Maps by Maroon 5. The Mac Bros aren't friends. They're just mates from Liverpool. D Twins are identical twins who sang Shy Guy. Pretty fierce looking combo, those two. I think they'll give it plenty. So it'll be interesting. You know, a duet battle is interesting. I don't see either of these troubling the winners, though. D Twins are 50-1. The Mac Bros are 50-1. It doesn't really matter. Neither of these are being stolen, I thought, does it? Would you?
Close to call, isn't it? This is this week's Burnley versus Sunderland Super Sunday game, isn't it? So I think the Mac Bros will get through, personally. I think they had a little bit more about them than the other two.
Karis Thomas versus NK. Karis is only 16. She was the single mum from Wales, another Welsh female singer. NK was, it was his 21st birthday, if you remember. And Rita turned for him. I thought he was actually very good, to be honest with you. You know, maybe he's not a very good price. He's 50-1. But I thought he had something about him. Tricky on this. Singing Don't Speak by No Doubt. I couldn't call this one, to be honest. I think it'll be a really good battle where they complement each other rather than go against each other, if you know what I mean. I think this could be one of the duets of the night here, Rob.
I'd be interested to know how a 21-year-old bloke is actually going to sing No Doubt. Don't Speak by No Doubt, actually. I'd be interested to know about, but I do think Karis Thomas, we've laid a little bit of money this week on Karis Thomas, and I wouldn't be surprised if she was the one who gets the
25-1 to win the show. Team Ricky next up. Letitia George versus Vikesh Champanari, who I really liked on his audition. I thought it was really good. They're singing Under Pressure by Queen. Letitia was the first act that came on for the series. Vikesh, I think he's something to do with taxi driving. I can't remember. He didn't drive a taxi, but he did Hometown Glory. He's got a kind of a... Like an Indian tinge to his voice. So he's got that kind of... Remember when Bhangra was all the rage,
yeah.
Rob, a few years back? He's got that kind of little aspect to his voice. That's what I really liked about it. I loved a bit of Bhangra back in the day. He's big price, though, isn't he? I thought he might have a chance of getting far in this competition. 33-1. Yeah, probably not.
I think he does get through this, though.
Do you think so?
Letitia, I think it was the fact that she was first on and she had a half decent voice.
100-1, though, isn't she?
It was more the fact that it was the first act and they wanted to press the buzzer, really, didn't they?
Yeah.
But I think Vikesh is the person who will get through in this one.
Yeah, another good one next up. Hannah Wilds versus Autumn Sharif. This is I think this will be a really good battle. If I Ain't Got You by Alicia Keys is the song they're singing. Hannah, you may remember, sang Nelly Furtado's All Good Things. Autumn was the last woman to join Ricky's team. Do you remember? She like really, really attractive. Well, both really attractive, but she was like, you know, really attractive. Quite, she was a little bit nervy, wasn't she? She sang Crying for No Reason. I remember her being brilliant, and he was, remember he gave it all that about completing his team and completing him and all that. Oh, that baloney. Hannah Wilds is priced up at 66-1, and Autumn is 25-1. So given the market, you'd expect Autumn to go through, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I didn't see Autumn's
yeah, she was good
audition, so based on that, then the fact that she's quite a bit shorter in the market, I think we will go for her to go through.
The final battle for Team Ricky is Classical Reflection. And if you're looking for them in the betting, go to the bottom of the list against Emmanuel Normadi, who is one of the shorter prices, 12-1 to win this. The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics is what they're singing. It's Hannah and Naomi. They're mirror twins. Their teeth fell out on opposite sides of their mouths when they were little, apparently.
Well, I think they always fall out, don't they?
Yeah, and Emmanuel sang Sade's Sweetest Taboo. He, I don't get duets in this, Rob. I don't think they should allow duets in this. There's no way they get through against Emmanuel, is there?
Duet against duet, yeah. We said before that this is the tends to be the time where duets come unstuck last week, didn't we? Mm. Yeah, I think they do come unstuck here as well. It was a strange one, Emmanuel. He started off. When we auditioned, we priced him up at sort of 25, 30, 31. I didn't think it was overly good, and the punters really got stuck into him, and I think he's as short as 12-1 now.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I just wonder if they know that he gets a little bit further than I do. So I do expect Emmanuel again to get through over the 220.
Interesting battle next. Daniel Duke versus Kai Williams. Daniel was the guy whose twin brother also auditioned but didn't get through. Justifiably, Daniel was much better. And Kai was the Welsh male model. He's got kind of like an Afro hairstyle and pretty outrageous looking, isn't he? He sang License to Kill. He was really good, actually. Big on Instagram, apparently, Rob. Are we big on Instagram? Or
No, because I don't like people taking pictures of me.
Fine.
Or pictures of myself. Daniel did the Proclaimers,
yes.
500 miles,
yeah,
didn't he?
That. It was good, wasn't it?
Really, really different take of that as well, which I really liked. And yeah, he was definitely the better of the two brothers who got through. So I think he gets through here as well. But song choice, I'd be interested to know sort of how they've worked the song choice, because it seems to be a little bit sort of out of Daniel's comfort zone. But the fact that he made such a take on the Proclaimers, maybe there's a little bit of a different take on this one as well. So
yeah, I totally agree with you there. I think it's going to be a really intriguing one to see how it works out. I mean, he's going to be on stage with his guitar, so yeah, it'll be interesting that they're actually singing "Am I Wrong," Nico and Vince. I agree. It's going to be. I was looking up this song earlier on, by the way. You know, like when you go on YouTube and check out different music videos. This music video has 178 million views.
Yeah,
that's incredible, isn't it? Unbelievable how many people watch these. But yeah, you'll know, everyone knows this song, don't they? It's been a massive hit recently.
Watched,
so. So yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be really interesting to see. Who would you pick from that one? I mean, you look at Daniel's priced up at 50-1, which you know may attract a bit of money. And Kai Williams is bigger, is double the price, 100-1. Which way would you go?
Yeah, I tend to think that the sort of vote in public, I think Daniel would be the winner here. I think he offers something a little bit sort of more quirky than what Kai does. I don't think the voting demographic of Kai puts him down as a winner of the show, while maybe Daniel at 50-1 is a lot better value.
Yeah. Sasha Simone versus Lisa Ward. I like Sasha Simone when she first appeared on the show. She was the bricklayer who did Beyonce and Lord in a blind audition.
Job.
What's
some,
that?
Some woman bricklaying. What's going on?
If she came round to my house, I'd have walls everywhere, mate. If I said, if I rang up and asked for a brickie and they came round to do a bit of work, I'd have brick walls everywhere.
Unfortunately, Lee, most of them would be around her to stop you perving at her, wouldn't it?
No, not in that way. She just, you know, I just have her singing and all that sort of stuff. She's singing Tracks of My Tears, Smokey Robinson, of course, with Lisa Ward, who was really good as well. She was the penultimate act to join. The penultimate act of the show and the last one to join Team Tom, and you got the sense at the time that he may not have picked her if he'd had his time. You know, if she'd have come up second in the show, you wonder if it had turned, don't you? He was getting a bit desperate by that point.
He went for it first and obviously left Will with the Tina Turner tribute act.
He won in that respect. She's 50-1. Sasha Simone is 16-1.
I think he really liked Sasha as well.
Yeah, and right up Tom Street, wasn't it? She's really sassy looking, isn't she?
Yeah, I think you put Sasha through you.
Yeah. Kim Alvord against Lara Lee. My Kind of Love by Emily Sandé. Kim auditioned for S Club Juniors and the Saturdays. Didn't get in, but she got into Team Tom instead.
That's a massive come down, isn't it? I tried to get into S Club Juniors. I tried to get into the Saturdays, but now I'm basically sort of... I'm about to go out in the second round of The Voice.
She's 100-1. Lara Lee, she was the obviously a singer, but she's also a spoken word poet from Brixton. She actually did some spoken word poetry on stage. She also did There Are Worse Things I Could Do from Greece and did a different version of that. She's priced up at 33-1. I think it's going to be really interesting. I think she'll get through this, Rob. I think it's going to be really interesting the kind of how she and Sasha get progress in the competition, because I think they're very similar, actually. You know, very similar, very big voices. I mean, Lara Lee had a huge voice, didn't she, if you remember? I think she gets through there, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, cool. That's it. That's all of them. That's all 12. Battles this weekend. We haven't really put up any surprises there, have we, to be honest with you? I can't see any, to be honest.
It's one of the... I think last week there was a case for a few of them, and we saw that with sort of Claudia Rose getting beat and a couple of others. And I think this one's a little bit more sort of favourites-based. It just proves how well compilers have... definitely including me have pressed it up this year.
Of course, including you.
Definitely including me.
Yeah, I'm going to... One act we haven't talked about, Rob, is Brooklyn, from last week.
Yeah.
What 66-1? Something about. I'm not saying she's amazing, but they seem to love her, and there's something about her. She's going to have a lot of support, like via social media, isn't she? Do you think she's a little bit overpriced, or do you think she'll just get found out in the when it comes down to actually singing?
I think she'll get found out only because. I think if you really had any chance of winning, I didn't think there was much to choose between her and Rosie, and I think it sort of went sort of Brooklyn's way. I didn't think it was the greatest. It wasn't the greatest battle of the night.
No. She's more about style than substance, I think, isn't she? She's got more.
Yeah, and I'm not overly sure now that it's probably good for the show that you get sort of your Joey Essex and Amy Powell promoting it a bit. I'm not sure that's the sort of voting demographic that they're appealing for, and I think she might get to the live shows, but I can't see her as a winner at this stage.
Nah, fair enough. Obviously, Rob's already said that he's all over Stephen McCrory as a favourite. I'll just put up one more. In punting terms, of course. I'll just go with... Just one that I think will shorten over the weekend is Esme Dentez. I think she's very, very, very good. A really attractive girl as well. I think 16-1. I think she's the one who might really shorten in the market. I don't know if Sheena McHugh can get much short. Well, she probably could get a little shorter, maybe half a point here and there. But yeah. I think Esme Dentez might be single figures after the weekend. So she's probably the one I'd be looking at now. What is still a wide open field, you know, notwithstanding Stephen McCrory's Scottish kind of support and the fact that he was very, very good as well. I'd be looking, if you haven't had a bet in this and you're looking for someone who you might get on the right side of, then her price could be single figures, but after the weekend, I think.
Okay.
Thank you. The rest of the specials pages, we've got Strictly Come Dancing special here, Rob, who will appear in 2015. We have got a lot of value in this market. Carol Kirkwood is the first name on there, but she's not the outright favourite. There's a few all grouped together, Rob, on 6-1 here, aren't there? She's one of them. Graham Swan, Mike Tyndall. Then you've got Adrian Childs, Joey Essex, John Altman, Chris Evans, Hetty Bywater, Kevin Peterson and Louise Minchin with Michael Owen at 9-1. Chris Moyles, David Walliams, John Turow, Tim Henman at 10s. Then you've got 12-1 for Danny Dyer, Phil Taylor, Sam Bailey, Shane Ritchie, Steph McGovern. 14s for Evan Davis, Katie Price, Michael Portillo, Naga Munchetti, Piers Morgan, Sophie Raworth, and then 16-1 for the soon-to-be-retired AP McCoy, John Parrott, Kate Adie, Moira Stewart, Stephen Hendry, Steve Davis, and then loads at 20-1 as well. This is a tremendous list. Did the PR team come up with this list, Rob?
PR team was, yes, I've been on mic, haven't I?
For what? No, it wasn't meant as a criticism. It's just it's quite an eclectic mix of people they've come up with.
No, I mean, there's a few that I was looking at. I mean, obviously, first thing I noticed about this was yesterday when I was doing a bit of prep for this, and there's a few that sort of stand out. I quite like Hetty Bywater at 9-1.
Right.
There's been such a big thing. Hetty Bywater was Lucy Beale in EastEnders, and there's such a big thing over EastEnders, and she's obviously so well liked still with the BBC. I think something like Strictly would be right up her street, so I'd certainly back the 9-1. Of others, there's others you can sort of turn. I don't think Joey Essex would do it. I don't think they'd want somebody like Joey Essex. Kevin Peterson's got a contract with the Big Bash, so he should probably be about 100-1 instead of 9. They will have a newsreader, so somebody like Louise Minchin probably fits the bill at sort of 9-1.
Yeah, and Carol Kirkwood, isn't she the weather woman on BBC Breakfast?
Yeah.
So she kind of, you can see how she could kind of fit the bill there. So, you know, the BBC like to throw in someone like that. Obviously, the sports guy won it, didn't he?
Yeah, Chris Evans, I know, has wanted to do it for a few years.
Right, okay.
I can pass Michael Owen over at 9, same with Chris Moyles, same with David Walliams. John Turow, well, Greg Wallace did it last year, didn't he? So there's always a chance he could do it. I don't think Henman would do it. I don't think Danny Dyer would do it, or Taylor. Sam Bailey, I don't think, could do it.
I don't know, she's just been dropped, mate. I don't know about that. She's just been dropped by a record label.
She has been dropped, but, I mean, it's the same as getting somebody in from The Voice for me. I don't think she's a big enough name to get it, personally.
I tell you one name I do like on there, Rob.
Sophie Raworth at 14s.
I tell you what, my pick would be there, and it's decent enough price as well. Gok Wan at 25-1. He has come out and he said in the past that he wants to do Strictly. Now. Yep. This is the interesting thing. I think it was a couple of years ago. He said he wants to do Strictly, but he wants to dance with a man. Now, at what point do they actually do that? It's a huge shout, that, isn't it? The fact that it would be a same-sex dancing partnership. Yep. That would be some statement from the BBC, and you know, but 25-1 he's actually said in the past that he wants to do the show. Now I know you probably get a bigger price than 20. What price would it be for the BBC? You've put that market out before, actually. I think when will they do a same sex couple instantly?
I think we were about 8-1 for them to do it last year. I think.
Right. Well, I mean, in that case, then 25-1 is a bit of value, isn't it?
Yeah. 20-1 Johnny Wilkinson, I quite like the look of.
Right, okay.
Well, I just think sort of BBC, I think he'd fit the sort of BBC mould as well for doing the show. Of the others, I can't really, they're not going to get sort of White D in, or I can't see Alan Sugar turning up, and definitely not the Wilston Raider.
I think you can rule him out.
The bottom seven, you might as well just not bother. But I think There are little bits of value in the market. I do like Hetty Bywater at 9s.
Yep.
I do like Johnny Wilkinson at 20s. And I think there will be a newsreader in. So I could even play Louise Minchin and Sophie Raworth at 9-1 and 14-1 respectively.
One other that I like, Rob, kind of fitting into the kind of Abby Clancy mould. And I'm still looking to see what she's actually doing at the moment. That's Michelle Keegan.
Well, Michelle Keegan says she doesn't want to do it. She now came out because obviously Mark Wright was on last year, and they're due to get married sometime this year, aren't they? But it has been mentioned that she was in the studio a lot of times, obviously while Mark Wright was performing, and I know they did ask Michelle Keegan about Strictly over the last few days.
Yeah, she's flatly denied it, hasn't she? But the fact that there's rumours around,
Yeah, definitely rumours. Oh, God, no. It's not put me off because I do think it's an amazing experience. He loved it. But I think he was so nervous and my heart was in my mouth the whole time. So I'm thinking, if I'm so nervous with him doing it, I'm going to be doubly nervous with me. I think it's a live audience aspect. That's what freaks me out. And live television with millions of viewers and going out and doing that with a skill that doesn't come naturally to you. So I'd probably say not at the minute. But again,
yeah, this is the killer one. But again, you never know.
No, if you get paid enough money.
I tell you what, I think there's a few there. I think it's one of those markets that really takes a lot of, you know, all you've really got to do in this market is type the name into Google with the words Strictly Come Dancing after it and see what's been said in the past. Find someone who has got a genuine desire to do it and then have a look at some of these prices. To be fair, that's what I did with Rebecca Adlington, and for some reason they just have never really won. Every year she comes out and says, yep, I'm ready, I'll do it this year. Categorically this time, Rob, I'm going to say no, she's not going to do it. She's pregnant.
Yeah, but she's got plenty of time. When's it due?
I don't know how far on she is, to be honest with you. Let's see if I can find out when she's due. No, it doesn't say when she's due. I don't know. I can't tell you. But she's only just pregnant by the looks of it, so I don't think it'll be conducive to Strictly.
By the looks of it, have you got recent pictures?
Yeah. Well, the story was only like this week.
Oh, right.
She's expecting her first child with her new husband, Harry, in June.
Oh, well, you don't have plenty of time.
No.
Absolutely plenty of time.
No, I think she'll be busy with a new child.
Paula Radcliffe used to have babies and went out training the next day.
That's true. She also did a poo in the street.
Oh, yeah, yes. Happens to us all, doesn't it? Needs
mustard
all that.
Should we call it a day there on that bombshell?
I think we better do, yeah.
That bombshell. Thank you very much, Rob.
Pleasure, mate.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've talked about on The Voice or on Strictly Come Dancing or any of the other markets on the specials pages, then very best of luck. You can download this podcast at audioboom.com, on iTunes, and at williamhill.com/podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.